This is Speaking of Schools, coming to you from South Carolina's Department of Education. It's a weekly feature here at this website. Thanks for joining us. I'm Doug Keel, and on today's program, we have the topic of adult education. And actually, this is the audio from a Carolina Classrooms presentation from the 30th of September, and you can see this at the SCETV website, but you can hear it today as Dawn Samples, the hostess of Carolina Classrooms, talks with Dr. David Stout, David being the director in the Office of Adult Education in South Carolina's Department of Education, and Kathy Greer, who is the Adult Education Coordinator in the Richland-Lexington School District Number 5. So today on Speaking of Schools, in case you missed it, the audio portion of Wednesday, September 30th's Carolina Classrooms. Stay with us. We are Speaking of Schools.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Carolina Classrooms. I'm Dawn Samples. Tonight we'll discuss a very important topic in education, that of adult education. Joining me this evening is Dr. David Stout from the Office of Adult Education at the South Carolina Department of Education, and Dr. Kathy Greer, Adult Education Director in Lexington Richland School District 5. Thank you both for joining us this evening. We appreciate you being here.
You're welcome.
Can you tell us a little bit about adult education today and what that looks like today?
Well, adult education today is so much different from when I started back in the early 80s. Basically then adult education was just night school, maybe at the local high school, two nights a week for 2 hours. For individuals that may have had a job and wanted to work to getting a promotion, to become supervisor or something like that, or they needed one or two units to finish their high school diploma. Today, all but two or three of our 50 adult education programs have their own adult ed centers. So individuals are not going back to the facility where maybe they didn't have such a great experience. And the age group in adult education is tending to be younger than what it was then. And I know Kathy can describe the type of students that she works with on the local level.
Well, I always tell people that adult ed students are the most diverse population that you can work with, because truly we have students who come from all walks of life. We deal with students in some programs 16 and up. Our program is 17 and older. So we have a wide range in terms of ages, but in terms of life circumstances, certainly it's extremely diverse. And so we have to be very responsive to student needs, and it's probably the most individualized educational program that you can actually access today.
So in thinking about that, in today's world, things have changed with technology since the 1980s, for example, and I know people can learn in a number of different ways. What are some ways that programs like this have changed and shifted to meet those growing needs of your students?
We have a lot of online resources for mm-hmm. our adult education programs. The adult ed programs are part of the virtual network that we have in the State Department of Education, and that's especially helpful in a small rural program where the local high school may have trouble getting a science or math teacher for the high school. It's going to be real difficult to get a certified teacher to teach adult education. So having access to the online virtual program, and where the adult ed student earns the exact same unit as a high school student, even adds more credibility to the adult ed program. And there are multiple other sources that we help pay for at the state level and at the local level that they can buy themselves. Because some individuals can jump on a computer, they don't need any more help, they're
right.
on their own. Others are still kind of leery of computers, mm-hmm. so we kind of have to work them into that.
And help them be prepared to deal with that.
Absolutely.
I know our graduates today coming out of high school don't look like they did years mm-hmm. ago. So how has this program shifted and changed to sort of meet similar demands as what our current high schoolers are trying to do when they graduate?
Well, for one thing, our program mirrors what the high school's expectations are in terms of the expectations that students will leave work and career ready. And so the new GED, for example, is aligned to the Common Core standards, the adopted state standards. But along with that, I'd say that we are accommodating students in terms of recognizing that just as in the regular school settings, you're seeing more and more students who need a different alternative in terms of some of the things that in the traditional school just really doesn't fit for them. And adult education for a lot of those students have become the choice alternative because it does provide the flexibility for those people who earlier and earlier are starting families or who are entering in the workplace. And so some of the students that were traditionally in high school up to perhaps age 17 now are in very much adult situations already in terms of their life. And then we have a lot of students who are coming back to us because they have found that they were maybe in a job and they are 40. And have been downsized from that position due to company changes, that kind of thing, and they have to make a career shift. One of the things that we know is that students who are coming out of school now will probably change careers about 20 times over the course of their work time. So yes,
they need a different skill set now than they needed before.
Most certainly.
Well, let's take a look. We're going to look at another video. So let's take a look at our next clip, which is inside the Adult Education Center at Richland School District 1. And we're going to hear from people who have benefited from that program there.
We also have GED programs, which assist students in preparing them for the actual GED test. For GED, we have classes in the day classes in the morning. We have classes in the afternoon and in the evening, all day long. We're almost trying to be 24-hour education center. Whatever it is that you need, we will find a way to make it possible that you can take classes to earn either your high school diploma or your GED.
What was done yesterday and how it was cleared up yesterday.
They really tailor and individualize everything that you need to schedule your adult education. So I think it's really helpful for people that has issues of work and daycare. What led me here is my kids. They're on their way to high school. They wanted me to get my high school diploma, and I have two more units to get, and I'll be finished in December.
We have the high school diplomacy program, which students must have at least 16 credits to attend. And we help them to attain the additional 8 credits because they have to have a total of 24 to receive a South Carolina High School diploma. So we work with them on that. We use online direct instruction and online services so that they could obtain that.
For those students that just can't get here, we have options for them. And even in our diploma classes, we have online courses. We register them in the South Carolina Virtual High School, but we try to work around whatever the need is to make it work for them.
They're very flexible and they work with your schedule. And, you know, they just basically keep you on the right path. Back in high school, I didn't really think it would, you know, affect me in any way by not getting a high school diploma. Now I see where things are getting worse and worse, and you know, you need a high school diploma or a GED to get a job anywhere or anything. So that's what really led me to get my high school diploma, because you can't really go forward until you have that. So that's the first stop I have to make in order for me to join the military, go to a four-year college and get a better job.
South Carolina's recognized the need to improve its K through 12 education system. Lots of comprehensive reforms happening. Great activities going on there. Much progress is being made. In order to realize the full potential of that, though, we need to concentrate on the adult education piece also. And we need to have a great focus in that. If you think about it, the adults that are out there that don't have the education are the parents of the kids that are in the K through 12 system. And we need to make sure that they have the opportunity, those adults have the opportunity to raise their level of education. If we do that, the ripple effect for those kids, their kids, will be tremendous. So we need to raise everybody's standard. Now, in order to do that, we have to have adult education systems and things in place that have easy access, that are online, that have the ability to people who work to be able to get to them. I'm glad to say a lot of progress has been made in this endeavor. The business community has been working with the adult ed, and specifically with David Stout and his group, to make some of these reforms that we're talking about, but we're not done.
When we're looking at resumes and folks who are applying for jobs, the first thing we look at is, do they have a high school degree or a GED? If they don't, they get screened out. If they do, and we put equal weight on GED and a diploma, then we know that they have accomplished something and they have a basis of knowledge. The resources needed to improve the workforce in South Carolina really relates to how the global workforce competitiveness has changed. We've gone to a system where technology is changing very rapidly, and certifications are becoming much more important for employers. So that when people are going to school, sometimes not needing the two-year degree or the four-year degree, but a series of industry certifications that give them specific skills that they need and give the employer the knowledge from that certification that this employee's got what he needs to do that job.
So one of the things that we saw in this clip, one of the things that they were just talking about is how we live in a global world, and I know one of the expectations at the K-12 level is for schools to work with communities and build relationships and partnerships and that sort of thing. So what kinds of things might your students in this program be able to expect with regard to partnerships or working with the community?
We have a couple of statewide MOUs with state agencies that we partner with, and probably our biggest one is with the Department of Social Services, serving SNAP recipients in the adult education program. They have funding for the employment and training program, and they refer students to the adult education program, and we work with them and help increase their skills, hopefully earn a GED or a traditional high school diploma, or earn a work keys credential. We've been very successful. That's been going on about 2 years, and we have over 1,000 people that have passed a GED test that are SNAP recipients, and almost 4,000 have earned a work keys credential through our partnership. Our other major statewide partnership is with vocational rehabilitation. We have adult ed classes in 26 of the 28 voc rehab centers around the state, and also then the thing that we work on there is the work keys test, preparing those individuals to take the work keys test, which hopefully will prepare them to be able to go out and get a job.
Can you tell us a little bit more, for those of our viewers who may not understand what the work keys are, what is that and how does that benefit them?
Okay, work keys is a series of tests that the ACT organization has. And a lot of employers use that as a screening method for their potential employees. They want to make sure that they have the job skills necessary to do what needs to be done on the job. The state of South Carolina is a very big supporter of the work keys test. Mm-hmm. In fact, this past spring, all 11th graders around the state took the work keys test. So it's very important. We use it as economic development. We want to show potential employers that may be coming to South Carolina that we have a quality workforce for you when you mm-hmm. get here.
So it would be very beneficial for these learners to be able to take that and be able to show what skill set they have as they leave.
Right. And we offer the test free through adult education through a contract we have called, it's an initiative called Certified Work Ready Communities. And I just received an email today that 3 more counties have received the Certified Work Ready Community status. So I think about 32 of our 46 counties are now certified work ready, really a key factor.
That's great. I know you were mentioning some things earlier. What are some other things?
Right, the work keys certification is just one component, actually, of mm-hmm. what we're trying to accomplish in terms of getting people ready for the workplace. And the partnerships within the community are an important part of that. We partner with Midlands Technical College and of course, the other programs, the colleges that are located in their area, mm-hmm. but also faith-based organizations and places like DO, those other agencies such as that, to provide job skills training, but also provide avenues for continuing education for students as they leave. There was a time when receiving a credential from us was considered an endpoint. but we recognize that our responsibility does not end there. And part of what our responsibility is to make sure that when students leave us, they actually have a career ahead of them and not simply a piece of paper in their hands. Another important partnership has to do with providing for special needs of students. We serve students, as I mentioned before, our student population is very diverse, and so many of them have identified learning disabilities or physical disabilities, and we do provide accommodations for those disabilities. And in order to accomplish that, we do have to work with a lot of different agencies within the community,
right,
as well as our school districts.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want people to see the K-12 program as separate and
right,
apart from adult education. That is very much a partnership, and it's a continuation.
Does it just evolve and continue
exactly,
for some students?
Yeah, so we stay in very close collaboration with the high schools because we want those students to transition to us. We want it to be as seamless as possible. So we work very closely with the high schools.
And I know one of the other things that they mentioned in this clip also is that sometimes, like you just said, that GED is not the end, that you need to continue. So how does sometimes this prepare them to maybe, even if they're not seeking a degree down the road, but a certification in an area or a skill set that's specialized, is there anything that sort of moves them in that direction?
Well, one of the things that we do with all of the students who come through our programs, and I think all programs do this, they do career assessments to find out, you know, where their interests are, where their potential is.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to help students, we counsel them during the time that they're in the program to help them kind of tweak and find out what the best avenue is for them based on their capabilities and their interests. And we actually have people who come out on site to work with them, to fill out their FAFSA, to fill out applications if they're planning to go on for continuing education. If it's employment, we have people who come in and work with them on job skills, teach them how to do job searches. We take them on business and industry tours, college tours, those kinds of things to help make sure we make that connection. And what we want is for them to actually be going directly from us into that next avenue. And the military is the other avenue that some of them take. So recruiters also come on site, and we work very closely with them as well.
Excellent. Thank you. We're going to take another look now at another video we have from Dorchester County, and this is the adult education program that emphasizes career readiness and gives adults the opportunity to get an education that will help meet the demands needed in today's workplace. So let's take a look at that.
Our adult education program in Dorchester County offers a wide array of services. We are really strong advocates that part of our mission for our county is to provide an educated workforce, which in turn helps the economic development of the county of itself. So to that end, we offer, in addition to our GED preparation program, we also offer high school diploma completion for individuals who lack just a few units, or maybe taking the state HSAP exam for completion of a high school diploma. We offer ESL classes for our adult students, with the goal of that being to provide them what I call survival English skills, so that they can be full partners in their children's educational process and in their communities. We also offer adult basic education, which provides literacy and basic reading and math skills to individuals who come with us who might be reading challenged. Their skills aren't yet to a level where they're going to be successful on a GED or a high school diploma, so we want to brush up those skills. So again, that goes back to those partnerships being so important, because none of us are little islands unto ourselves, and so if we can bring those services to a central location for the client, it makes it better all the way around.
So let's continue this discussion about partnerships. I know you had something else you were going to share about partnerships.
Well, partnerships have always been very important to adult education, but it's going to be even more. We have a new federal law that was passed last summer. It's the first change in adult education since 1998. So the biggest part of that is mandated partnerships with the Department of Employment and Workforce and Vocational Rehabilitation on the state level. We'll be writing a unified state plan. We'll all be working together. We'll all be measured by the same performance measures. So we have a lot to gain to see success, you know, that all of us have. But probably the biggest thing that will be coming out of that is, as Kathy mentioned, career pathways. You know, when people finish our program in the past, it's pretty much thank you, good job, you just graduated. Technical college is right down the street, you know, go on down there. But now it's going to be that, as she mentioned, we bring the technical college people, we bring employers. Some of our adult ed programs have job fairs right there in the adult ed center. So our partnerships are going to get even stronger. And, you know, we want someone, when they leave adult ed, not just with a GED, but have a silver or gold work keys credential and be on a path, you know, for a career. And once they finish with us, then they will go on to the technical college to get an extra, you know, credential, maybe a two-year degree or just a certificate. And then the people at the job centers, they have the identified jobs in that area, and they know what's out there. And then they take over, and they take the people on to the path down the next road.
Are these learners, do they sometimes have opportunities for internships or things like that as well as they're going through the program, or does that happen later on maybe?
Well, we are looking more and more to get involved in apprenticeships programs, okay. You know, because the kids that are in high school are the workforce down the road in the future. The people in adult education are the workforce right now, and they need jobs immediately.
Mm-hmm. How many would you say are maybe working full-time of the people who are in your programs right now who are working already and trying to work on their GED?
I would say in our locally in our program about 60%, which is why we had what we have in terms of trying to have flexible scheduling. And Dr. Stout mentioned earlier in terms of, you know, people having weekend classes. We have classes that occur all during the day and then in the evening and also on the Saturdays as well. Mm-hmm. We had a number of students last year who worked shifts that are 7 to 7. And so even though we had day and evening classes, they still did not
still
have access.
For them.
Right. And it's all about that, trying to find ways to make sure that the students who need our services actually have access to our services.
So they have maybe virtual courses mm-hmm. that they can take
they do.
Through the virtual school, I think you were saying. And when they do that sort of thing, are there things they need to know in advance? Is there equipment they would need to have to be able to participate in something like that? What kinds of things would they need to know to be prepared for if they were looking mm-hmm. for entry into a program like this?
Well, it still starts the same way in terms of them actually connecting with the local program, because along with, even if you have access in terms of technology and you can go on and sign yourself up online, you need that academic support. And we do provide teachers who work with students, and so they need that support. A lot of students who are actually in adult ed don't do well actually in programs where they're working independently. They really do need that hands-on, mm-hmm. face-to-face kind of support. So we encourage them actually, even if they plan to take an online program, to come to the center.
To still seek that
actually,
additional
yes,
support.
Right, so that they can have that support that they need.
So are there tutors available as well, or what kinds of support is there in addition to mm-hmm. just a teacher being there? I know you were mentioning earlier that you have special
right.
needs, that
right.
you help those
right.
who have special needs who are learning disabilities. What does that look like? What does the support look okay. like?
Well, you have tutors, you have volunteers who can come in and help with students who maybe need a little more one-on-one attention mm-hmm. or small groups. We have special needs certified teachers who are also on staff, and to make sure that they're monitoring the students' progress and communicating with the regular ed teachers. We provide the IEPs for students who would have IEPs mm-hmm. and 504s for those who are older. So it's the same as if they were still in the K-12 system in terms of the kinds of support they have. We also help them to apply for accommodations if they're taking the high school equivalency exam and they need accommodations on that exam. So we walk them through that process and actually do the paperwork to help them to apply for those accommodations.
And thinking of accommodations, do you sometimes have students who don't speak English or who are learning to speak English who are seeking their GED as well?
We serve 5,000 to 6,000 non-English speakers a year through our adult education programs. Many of those are well educated in their own language, but then there's many of them that are illiterate in their own language, and it can be a real challenge. We have several adult education programs that have centers set up just to serve non-English speakers. I know in Berkeley County, they have a center called the Fishburne Center, And sometimes they may have 30 different languages down there attending at that center.
Wow.
In Greenville County, they have classes on Saturdays, and they average, you know, serving 300 people in the program up there on Saturdays. So that's one of our fastest growing populations, and it's not as people thinking that these are migrant workers that come in here and after a couple of months they're going to be gone. These are people that are going to be here probably the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. And our goal is to help make them a regular member of the community just like everyone else. Their kids are going to the elementary mm-hmm. schools in some parts of the state. I've heard that 20% of the elementary students are non-English speakers. Mm-hmm. So, we have to do our part. Adult education, another big initiative is family literacy. You know, as you educate the adult, the children, you know, their education level is coming up and everybody's a winner.
Well, that's amazing. Those statistics are incredible. Mm-hmm. I hope that I thank you both for being here with us tonight, and I hope that our viewers will feel inspired to know they're going to get the support that they need if they want to seek getting their GED. It does certainly sound like it has changed a lot from what it used to be, and that's exciting, I think. So just a reminder, teachers, remember that as time permits, we would like to show the great things that are going on in your Carolina classrooms. We invite you to submit a short video, 2 minutes or less, showcasing what you are doing with your students. We might just include it on the future episode. Please visit us at scetv.org/learn or the Pinterest site that you see on the screen to find out more information about the rules and how to submit your video. We'd also like to include your questions or topic suggestions for future episodes. Please send them to carolinaclassrooms@scetv.org. That's all our time for now. Thank you again for joining us, and we hope to see you next time on Carolina Classrooms. From everyone here at ETV, I'm Dawn Samples. Thank you for watching, and good night.
Thanks, Dawn, and thanks to Dawn's guests, Dr. David Stout from the Department of Education and Kathy Greer, Adult Education Coordinator, Richmond-Lexington School District Number 5, two key players in adult education throughout the state of South Carolina. Speaking of schools, comes to you from South Carolina's Department of Education. Today we featured a rebroadcast of the audio portion of a Carolina Classrooms that aired on September 30th on South Carolina Educational Television. You can go to the ETV website if you would like to see and hear that presentation. In the meantime, we thank you for listening today to Speaking of Schools, and we invite you to join us again next week when we'll be back with another podcast from South Carolina's Department of Education. Join us next week. We'd like to have you with us as we appreciate the pleasure of your company. For South Carolina's Department of Education, I'm Doug Keel.